All right, let's pray. Let's stand together and pray. All right, Father, we thank you for all your kindness to us, your many blessings, your goodness, Lord. We sang about it this morning, Lord. We do remember, Lord, those who are serving our country, that you would keep them. We hear, Lord, that you are moving among them and they are coming to know you and are giving themselves to serving you. And I thank you for that, Lord. Now, I would pray that as you gather in many, Lord, in your net, that you would find many to be faithful. Faithful, Lord. Many start, but not all finish. I pray you would find among them, Lord, men and women who would be faithful. Now, Lord, we pray this morning for your presence to be with us, your anointing, your hand to be upon us, Lord. We sense you moving. We sense your spirit. We sense your hand here among us this morning. And I pray, Lord, that you would gift us with your spirit for anointing. Gift us with your spirit for hearing. Gift us with your spirit, Lord, that our hearts might be open to receive what you are saying. For in truth, Lord, you are moving in the earth. And we rejoice to see it. Now, Lord, we pray your presence, your guiding, your preeminence among us here this morning. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. One of the things they teach you in Bible college is that, or in any kind of school, really, when you're learning to speak or to write, is to tell everybody what you have to say and then tell everybody what you have to say. So what I'm going to do is first I'm going to tell you what I have to say and then I'll tell you what I have to say. How's that sound? Okay? So that if you miss what I have to say, you will have heard what I had to say. Did I confuse you yet? Let me try that again. No. two things. I came with a particular, and I didn't really come with a burden. I'm very excited having come from the Four Square Convention. And so what I wanted to share, I wanted to share that with you this morning. I want you to know that I am not ashamed to be Foursquare. I am not ashamed to be Foursquare. It may not be the largest, and I certainly hope it is not the most sophisticated of all the denominations in this world. But it is one that God is using, that is filled and led by men who are hearing from God, who are godly men and women. And they're much like this church. Financially, the Foursquare is very stable. Where's Tony? Tony, you'll have to get this on the thing. They have, are you up there, Tony? He's not there. Wherever, listen, Tony, they got three times the assets as they do the liabilities. Three times the assets to the liabilities. Okay, did you get that? Financially, we're sound. We have over $1 billion worth of assets. I'm just telling you to let you know that God is blessing the Foursquare. Okay, they're a sound organization. And so I'm not ashamed to be Foursquare. And secondly, I want to share what I felt as I was here, because I believe God has a burden this morning for you in particular, this assembly. And I think I can speak to that this morning. And that is, I felt as I prayed earlier, it's I don't know if you could call it disappointment. It's not a lethargy, although it appears like a lethargy. But I know we have travailed long and we have been in the heat of the battle a long time. Pastor's been preaching this word that there is farther to go after Pentecost. There's something that comes after Pentecost, that the kingdom is coming, that we need to repent. All of these things that we've been hearing for years, and many of us have entered into that labor with them. And it has been a long struggle. And I felt that this morning, almost like some of us, I don't know that we're going to give up, but there's a part of us that has given up almost. Okay? We're just kind of gumming it through. We're just weary in well-doing. And God wants us to know not to grow weary. and well-doing. Not to lose patience and not to be discouraged. And in fact, I think what God wants to do is to tell us, be encouraged and be ready. God is about to move among us. Just as he says he's about to move with the four square, I believe very firmly God wants us to know he's about to move among us. Okay? Having said all that, that's what I'm going to tell you. But I'm going to go on a much more circuitous route. All right. It's always good to have scripture. So I want us to have some scripture. Well, I didn't even bring my glasses. You can tell how prepared I was. I thought I would do this tonight. That's usually the way things go. And I couldn't contain myself, so I shared a little bit with the pastor. And he said, oh, man, he says, you're ripe and ready. We'll give it to you tonight, this morning instead of tonight. So here I am. Acts chapter 2. I'm starting at the end, but then I'll make my way back and hopefully get back to the end at the appropriate point. Acts chapter 2, verses 14. Okay, and we'll read 14 through 21. Okay? And I'm not in the New American. I mean, I am in the New American. I'm not in the NIV. So if I have to read the NIV, I'll have to read it with you. Okay? I'll just read it off the screen with you guys. All right? Save it. Here. He's changed it. All right. We're on the NAS. All right. Okay, 14 through 21. But Peter, taking his stand with the 11, raised his voice and declared to them, "Men of Judea and all you who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give heed to my words." Okay, hold on a minute. Now, is it just because it's the NAS that nobody can read it? I only hear three voices. Mine and two others. Are you guys reading with me? Where were we? I know they're different words. Oh, you don't have it, but it should be up there on the screen. Okay? It should be up on the screen, the same words that I'm reading. All right, now we're all together. All right, where do we get to? Verse 15. For these men are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken of through the prophet Joel. And it shall be in the last days, God says, that I will pour forth of my spirit upon all mankind. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions. And your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my bond slaves, both men and women, I will in those days pour forth of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will grant wonders in the sky above, and signs on the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and glorious day of the Lord shall come. And it shall be that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. All right, now don't lose that place, but you know where I'm going. Joel chapter 2. We'll just read verses 1 and 2. We can go, if we wanted to read the whole thing, it goes on down. But I'm just going to read verses 1 and 2. Okay, Joel chapter 2, 1 and 2. We ready? Here we go. Blow a trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm on my holy mountain, for all the inhabitants of the land tremble. For the day of the Lord is come, surely it is near. A day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness. As the dawn is spread over the mountains, so there is a great... But I didn't come in convinced. Okay? I'm saying that because I felt God immediately spoke to us concerning what we're doing. God is saying, this ministry... I don't know whether he's referring to the TV or the internet or both or what. But I think God is saying this ministry that we are about to embark on, he's going to prosper. He wants us to enlarge the borders of our tent because it's going to be greater than we can think. This is what I think God is telling us. Do you hear me? Yeah, okay. That's how I felt until I was there in the institute, in the museum, and there was Linda Lubker, and it turned out that's how I got to Manassas. It's one thing, I understand, and we say amen, and I believe it, and we believe it, but it's another thing when you really get a hold of it in your heart and you realize, guess what? God really wants this thing to go. The kingdom is being preached. The kingdom. I went with the expectation, they don't know how to say squat about the kingdom. And there's a book that they had, they sent. Remember the beforehand, there was this book, you all ought to read it. How many read that book? Don Fento, is that the one that Pastor Jack advocated that we all ought to read? He said that this is next to the Bible is the most important thing there is to read. And then I didn't hear another word about it. And I wondered whether anything was going to be said at the convention. And it wasn't about that book. Okay? But I read the book and I thought, oh my goodness. This guy's preaching in the book. He's telling us that the next move of God is to bring in the kingdom. Whoa. And that, oh, by the way, I don't think there's going to be a rapture. Woo! Well, they didn't mention the book. And I was going there with the anticipation that this is going to be, you know, the theme of the convention was Thy Kingdom Come. And then they put in word and in power. And I figured they were going to concentrate on the word and the power and forget about the Thy Kingdom Come. Okay? But I want to tell you, God is in control. God is in control. Because God said at the convention through the speakers, the kingdom is coming. Okay? Not a lot of elaboration on it. But he said it clearly. The kingdom is coming. There's something else greater than Pentecost. One of the main speakers, Pastor Jack Hayford, most of you know him, is very, very well known and very influential in all of the Christian world. Okay? He happens to be Foursquare, but there's hardly any denomination that doesn't know about Jack Hayford and isn't familiar with him. And as a consequence, he has friends in a lot of places, and they're highly respected and very well known people. And one of his friends, two of his friends, matter of fact, they call themselves, what they call them, the Three Musketeers. So apparently they do a lot of things together. One is Ogilvy. What? Lloyd? Yeah, Lloyd. Lloyd Ogilvy, the former chaplain of the Senate. Okay? And he spoke to us. And then the other was Ken Olmer, right. Okay. And you may not have heard of either one of those names. Okay? But you're going to, all right? Lloyd Ogilvy, the one who, the chaplain of the Senate, said, if there's one thing God needs to say today, are you listening to me? There's one thing God needs to say today. That is, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. And I summed the whole, he's took, 40 minutes to say all that, but that's basically what he said. Some of you, Lisa, Audrey might have, if Bob had been there, he could give you the whole thing. Or we can actually get the CD for you so that you can hear what he had to say in its entirety. But to sum it up, he said, the kingdom of God is at hand. It's the one thing, he said, that this denomination, ours, probably needs to hear most. Did you hear that? It could have gone like that to most of the people that were there, but I heard it. It's the one thing that we need to hear most. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. And what God is trying to do is to warm us up for the reality of what that means. Because we all go, yeah, yeah, yeah. And I'm with you, all of you. I'm not trying to, please don't let me come across as I'm pointing any fingers, because I've done the same thing that you guys are doing. I've struggled with the same struggles that you guys struggle with. But it's one thing to say, yeah, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. It's another thing to recognize the implications of what that means. Because it's going to have implications. And if not on my generation, but I expect that it certainly shall, it will on our children. You see, things are happening. God is moving. God is orchestrating so that the world will be prepared for His coming. The kingdom of God is at hand. I didn't say that. They did. Repent. I didn't say that. They did. It's the one thing that we need to know. And he explained what repentance was. To change your mind, basically. Nothing to do with being sorry about things. It has to do with you changing your mind. Stop thinking that you can do it. Which is what our organization needs to hear. And our organization is hearing that. We're not coming up with so many programs anymore. Isn't that the program? Huh? We're not coming up with all these ideas. I don't remember. Audrey, do you remember one new plan that was presented to us? I don't remember one new plan. I remember before, every time we'd come, we'd hear what the newest plan was. And we'd all groan and go home and think, oh, no, how's this going to work out? I don't remember that. Because we're learning that God is in control of this. We got people who pray. Now they do. I mean, they organize things. The place where we stayed and the place where we had a convention is the same room that they have the annual prayer breakfast with the president. Okay? Did you know that? No. Cool, huh? Have you heard about the annual prayer breakfast that they have where the president comes every year? I don't remember when it is, but every year he gets together and all these important people, senators and congressmen and lay people, and they all get together and they have this big prayer breakfast. And it happens every year. We're there in this room. Okay? But you see, when we put on our convention, God has gifted the Foursquare with ingenious people. We set that thing up and we rearranged it and we said, and they came down and looked at it, what we did, and they said, whoa, get a camera. Click, 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 click. What did you guys do? I mean, they're used to the hottest thing in town. And when we came in as a Foursquare, we were hotter than what they had. It's a lot like this church. It's not all that big, but we have a guy who has set things up for Disney. Setting things up for us. I'm just telling you that to let you know God is doing something. God is doing something. If you learn anything, I hope you hear it. God is doing something. And he's doing it with the Foursquare. And we're part of it. They reminded us of the prophecy that God gave years ago when he said that Foursquare is going to be used by God as the spearhead of the next movement. And everybody's looking around wondering, wow, I wonder what that's going to be. I tell you what, a spear? Now, God works to us very slowly. Okay? God's not slack, right? But to us, sometimes it seems like he's really slow. Right? So when you got a spear, it's got a point, and it goes into something, the point goes in before the rest of the spearhead goes in. You know what I mean? It takes a while to penetrate. Well, listen. The point's already penetrated. The rest of the spearhead hasn't gotten there yet. But the Foursquare is waiting to see what God is going to do through the Foursquare of saints. It's already begun. And we're part of what has begun. What God is saying to the world, he's been saying in this church and to the Foursquare. Now we're going to tell the world, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. You've got to change the way you live because Jesus is coming. And he's going to come to set up his kingdom. He's not yanking us out of here. He's coming here to stay. Amen. Foursquare is going to start. I mean, we already started. We're just not aware of what we're doing. But the foursquare has already begun. Amen? All right, so then the last Bishop Omer spoke. I really enjoyed him. Pastors always said that it's the black preachers that we need to get going because they got it. And they do. But I'm here to tell you, after we were there at the conventions, we had the inner city band ensemble. And I'm telling you what, the blacks, they know how to praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah, the musicians, they got it too. Amen. All right, so Bishop Omer is the one who brought us to this. Now we need to switch over back to Acts chapter 2, and we need to put it in the King James, and we need to mark verse 16. Okay, so we got Acts chapter 2. We need to go to verse 16. We need to put in the King. Ooh, that's King James? Where does it say this is that? I mean, we always say this is that, right? 16. Okay. But this is that, all right? This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. All right? This is what our brother, this is a little summarization of what he brought to us. Okay? He said, and I told you before, there's something that comes after Pentecost. Pentecost is only halfway. God perfects things in three, not in two. We have Passover, which is the first great convocation. And this is what he's teaching, you know. I'm not teaching what I teach. This is what he's teaching. We have Passover, which is the first great convocation. And you can get the CD, because he went in a little more than I'm going to this morning, because we know about Passover. And the second one is Pentecost. It's another convocation where they gather together. And this occurred on the day of Pentecost. Jesus Christ died on the day of, he died on the day of Passover. And he rose again on the day of first fruits. I don't think he said that, but I did. But this is the day. He gave us the countdown 50 days later. Okay, he was seen among them for 40 days and 10 days after that while they were gathered together. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, meaning it was the day of, not the evening and the morning, because it's the evening and the morning of the first day. The evening and the morning of the day of Pentecost. It wasn't the evening of Pentecost, but when the day had fully come, meaning the sun had come up on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came, okay? And when Peter got up, he said to them, "This is that which is spoken of by the prophet Joel." And then he gave us different contexts from this scripture to show us that there's more yet to come. Okay? That while we're looking for rain, there's the early and the latter rain. And he went to Joel to show us about the early and the latter rain. Okay? And that the Lord will give us in the last days. And that's something. In the last days, he'll give us the former and the latter rain in the same month. Okay? In the same month. Okay, the former rain is the rain that comes to water, where you need that in order to put seed. And the latter rain has come, and he gave us all this. This is part of his message. The latter rain comes in order to bring the harvest to fruit, to ripeness. And that God has given us, this was the former rain that God gave us at Pentecost. And now God is about to give us the latter rain, that God is going to give us that greater rain, is going to give us that which will bring things to maturity. Okay? It's all on the CD. You can get it from him. And so he showed us that from different texts. He showed us how we can see that that's so. In verse 17, he wanted us to notice what it says. "And it shall be in the last day," God says, "that I will pour forth of my spirit upon all mankind." Now, where are we in verse 17? You see that? Of, you see that word? Out of my spirit. It's an indication that there's something which is a whole, and out of that whole he gives out of it. That what we get is a portion, but there's a greater whole. Okay? That was his first point. That we received of the Holy Spirit, but there's more. Okay? Just based from this right there. out of my whole, my spirit. So there's that which he gave out of the spirit and that which is more, the spirit himself in a greater fullness. Okay? Then secondly, he showed us about the rain, the former and the latter rain. Okay? And he showed us that there's former and there's latter rain. And there was one other. Or what was, do you remember what the other one named? But he gave us three contexts which showed that there's more. There's a greater increase that's coming of God's outpouring of his spirit. So then what he did, I don't remember the order of it, but one of the things that impressed me was, it was a lot of fun, and sent poor Audrey off. But he told us that this, well, let's see what he told us. He told us of a time, he said that he has a problem with patience. And in particular, he just hates it when he has to go somewhere, a distance, and there's nobody at the airport there to receive him or to shake his hand or to welcome him there. But that God understands and is working at him, working with him, because he has need of patience. Because he just hates to go somewhere a long ways and find that there's nobody there to greet him or to shake his hand and welcome him, because he has need of patience. But that God is working with him because he just hates to go somewhere and not find somebody there to greet him and to shake his hand and to welcome with him. But that God is working with him because God knows that he needs patience because he just hates to go somewhere. Especially a long way and nobody there to greet him, shake his hand or to welcome him. But that God knows and he's working with him because, and we went through that for a while, 5 or 6 times. So we began to get the idea. So he says, I'm walking back and forth in this airport. A long time, after a while, I began to know all the janitors that work in there because I have a problem with patience. God knows he's working with him because he hates to go somewhere. Especially a long distance, and there's nobody there to greet him and shake his hand and welcome him. But God knows that he needs patience, and he kept walking back and forth, and he kept walking by the same guy back and forth, spending all this time walking by this same guy. And this guy's standing there, and he's got his picture in his hand, and looking at the picture. Are you Ken Omer? I didn't recognize you from my picture. They had given him a picture of him when he was much younger, and he had a big fro and dark glasses, and it didn't look like his picture. And what Ken Omer told us was, this is a picture that God has given his people out there walking past us, past our churches every day. And they're going, is this that? What is this? If we think, he wanted us to know, if we think that what we've got today is what God has in mind, we're sadly mistaken. And the world isn't buying it. There's something greater coming. Now I'm praying, because you know how when somebody introduces something new, everybody goes, ha! Whoa, yeah, because he was funny and it was great. And all his words are going, praying, because what he was saying is. There's something greater coming. There's something greater coming, Colleen. And God wants us to rise up. I can't do this, and I'm not going to cheerleader you, okay? Any of us. But God is doing something. And it's coming. Did you hear me? After all these years of us saying that this was going to be and that this is what God is saying, that this is really what God is saying, guess what? This is really what God is saying. And He's going to let the whole world know it. And He doesn't, and I don't give a rip who heard it first. Because He's going to see to it that the whole world knows that this is what's coming. So we've heard it for the last 25 years. So what? It's coming. God is on the move. There's a greater rain coming. We sang, and it wasn't, and I could tell it wasn't intentional. Matter of fact, after the second time we sang it, I thought to myself, why, when we come together and they get a worship group together, do they bother to sing the same song twice? I mean, you know, you only get to, they don't have elaborate, lengthy praise and worship times, so you only get to sing three or four, maybe five songs. Why would you sing when you already sang? You know, that would not be my thinking. I'm the kind of guy, I always give you as much variety as I possibly can in the short time that I have to do it. But they sang a song twice, and then they sang it again, and then they sang it again, and it became the theme song. And I don't, it had to do with raining. What was the song, baby? Holy Spirit, rain down, rain down. We don't do it. It's a Hillsong song. And one of the reasons why I didn't is because I thought it was referring to the fact that everybody wanted to go back to Pentecost. We need to go back to Pentecost. And when I went to the Lord, He said, I'm not going backwards. We're not going back to Pentecost. But there is a rain coming. A rain of the Holy Spirit. And a rain, different spelling, of Jesus Christ. So Holy Spirit, rain down, was a very appropriate song for us. It's coming. And don't worry, we won't do it because I don't have the music. And I don't know how to play it on my guitar. And I don't know all the words. Okay? But that's what we sang. And that's what God is saying. He's telling us, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to all the earth. And then the end will come. Amen? Amen. So I think it would be a good time now to have communion. That which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which He was betrayed, He took bread. All right, so we hold the bread up. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, this is My body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of Me. All right, now let's hold this thing up. Now, Lord, from a man who would give of his own body, and say, this is true food. Eat of My flesh. Surely, Lord, surely. And the same power that rose, that brought you up from the dead, Lord, that raised you up from the dead, that same power that works in us, and surely, Lord, help us to recognize You will do, Lord, the things that You said You will do. Lord, You will give us the desires of our heart, Lord. Many of us, myself, I'm not even sure what the desire of my heart is, Lord. I'm one of those guys that just, ADD, Lord, I just bounce from one thought to the next. I got so many desires in my heart, I can't remember them all. I don't know what the real one is. Others have known for years, but Lord, help us to lay hold of the reality that You're going to give it to us, that You want us to be fulfilled. You want our joy to be full. That this thing that You put in our hearts is Your purpose and Your desire and Your will. And You will see it through. We don't have to make it happen. You are making it happen. Lord, give us, I pray, rest as we partake of your body this morning and as we confess our sins before you, Lord. Give us rest, to rest in you. Rest in you, Lord. We have a part to play and you'll make it known to us. You're more interested in our fulfilling it than we are. You'll make it known. You've given us the grace. We have a part. That's fine. But to recognize you are doing this work in the earth. And you have begun. Let us partake together. Thank you, Lord. And in the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." All right, let's hold up the cup then. "Lord, you said, truly you have reserved the best wine until now." You've also told us that you can't put new wine in old wineskins. And so you've been changing us, Lord. You've been bringing forth new wineskins that we might receive the new wine that you're pouring out. Now, Lord, as we partake of this which represents your blood, Lord, your covenant with us, let us recognize, Lord, it is your covenant with us that which you have begun, you will finish. And not just for our own personal redemption, but for the redemption of your body, for the fulfillment of your word, for the witness born in the earth, for the actual proclaiming of the kingdom in all the earth and its actual coming to the earth. It's a covenant. It's going to happen. As we partake of your blood this morning, Lord, let that be in our bones, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So take.
Hallelujah.